Morning. As I mentioned before, Pastor Art is away. And as we were wondering who we would ask to speak this morning, I told the elders board, no, I can't do it. I'm right in the middle of seating, so I just don't have the time to put into it. And so as I sort of thought through about my list of contacts, there's a gentleman that definitely rose to the top of my mind by the name of John Dozois. Now, John is a very John and his wife Judy are very special people to Haley and I. We first met John in June of 1995, and that is when Haley and I traveled out from Saskatchewan to Lethbridge in order to candidate to be the youth and young adult pastor at First Baptist Church in Lethbridge. And John was the senior pastor at the time. And if you get to know John, you'll get to know that he's a punny guy. Not a funny guy, a punny guy, okay? And so he thinks his puns are funny, but I tried to cure him of that, but I haven't done it yet. So anyways, John was a very important person to me, as he definitely took me underneath his wing, and he mentored me and shepherded me as a young youth pastor, as a young adult pastor. And really, him and Judy just poured into our lives. And at the time, we showed up in Lethbridge with four kids under the age of 5 years of age. And I think, I'm not sure that church knew exactly what hit them. But we had 5 great years of ministry there, and really love and appreciate John and Judy and the impact that they've had in our lives. So I'm going to ask John to come and share from God's Word with us this morning. And he's recently had, I'm going to say, knee surgery. So usually he's out jogging this time of day, but anyways, he's got the cane going thing, making you feel sorry for him. So,
morning. It's good to be here again. I think it was around 30 years ago. It was just as you were moving from the little church over the other side of town, eventually to here, under the ministry of Don Holloway, that I had some dealings with you. I was the area minister for Alberta for several years, and anyway, it's good to. I have preached from this pulpit before. I don't know if it's this exact one, but I've been in this building. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter. Doug, when I came in, said you look like Johnny Cash, the man in black. But I thought he'd say, here's Johnny, and he's laughing. I want to begin by giving you a quotation from a friend of mine that I met a few years ago in Florida. He was a pastor, and he said something I've never forgotten. He said, live while you live. Don't die until you're dead. Think about it. Live while you live. Don't die before you're dead. There's another quotation that's quite similar. Death is more universal than life. Everyone dies, but not everyone lives. I want to speak to you today about something Jesus said about life and about living. My text is from the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, the 10th verse. The thief, he said, the thief has come to steal and kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and have it to the fullest, or more abundantly, as many of us know it. You'd think, you know, that everyone would want to experience this abundant life that Jesus Christ offers. But it isn't so. People seek other alternatives. People prefer other substitutes to the abundant life that Christ came to give. Some people resort to alcohol and opiate abuse. I read the other day that there were 332 deaths attributed to the fentanyl crisis. In last night's paper in the Calgary Herald, they said there's been a 61% increase in fentanyl deaths this year. It's epidemic. People seeking a higher high. People seeking what they think is the life. And then I read a financial column a while ago. It talked about a man who made millions and then lost them and then made millions again and lost them and made millions again three times. He made it and lost it. And the conclusion of the article said, when is enough enough? When do we have enough? When do we have enough? And people seem to try to seek life, meaning in human relationships. People are looking for Mr. Right. I saw on somebody's refrigerator. This woman said, I found Mr. Right. The only problem was his first name was Always. People think that if only they could marry so-and-so, or if only they weren't married to so-and-so, that life would be so much superior and so much better and so much more abundant. But it isn't so. These words of my pastor friend, live while you live, don't die until you're dead. Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I want to make a few comments before I launch into an exposition of this text. This particular text that is the focus of our study this morning is often treated like an orange or a banana. Our text contains what some people think is the outward peel. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. That's not the part we like. We like the part that says, Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. We think if we could just take the peel off, we'd have that fruit of that verse. Someone once remarked that a text without a context is a pretext. Jesus in this passage is talking about sheep and shepherds. I don't know how well that goes over in cattle country, but this is what our study is on this morning. Of course, it's in these verses that Jesus makes two of the seven I am statements of his ministry. He said, I am, in verse 9, I am the gate. By me, if any man enter, he will be saved. He will go out and come in and find pasture. And then right after our text, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Sandwiched between these two verses is our text. It's like a diamond right in the middle, protected by these other two statements. And in this statement, Jesus basically is giving a mission statement of why he came into this world. Why Easter? Why Good Friday? Why the Incarnation? I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. The first thing I want you to note, and Doug, I usually always had three-point sermons. Today, 2 points, you'll be glad to know, especially when you see how long the first point is. I want you to notice to begin with that a contrast is made. There's a contrast between the thief that has come to take and Jesus Christ who has come to give. When Jesus refers to the thief, he's not referring to the burglarizing of a private home. He's talking about the invasion of the sheepfold. He's talking about man or beast attacking sheep. I am come, he said, to give them life. The thief comes to take. to destroy, to kill, to steal. What are some of these thieves that Jesus is talking about? Well, let me suggest that one thief is disease. Science has done so much in recent years to alleviate human suffering and to eradicate disease. And yet, you know, people still get heart attacks. They still have cancer. They still contract diabetes. Disease. I look through the obituaries every day, not to find my own name. But I'm interested. I look at the pictures of people and think about them. Most of the people I never knew. I don't know. But you know, one of the things that very often appears in an obituary column is the fact that so-and-so fought a courageous battle with cancer. You often see that in an obituary. Disease. Disease is a thief that robs and kills and destroys. Time. Time is a thief. And how it affects us all. It robs us of our looks. It frustrates our plans. It causes all kinds of pressures. It goes by too quickly. Time, said the hymn, time like a never-rolling stream bears all its sons away. They fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. Time is a thief. And you know, Satan is a thief. Satan is a thief that robs us of meaning and joy and purpose. At least that's the way he's described in that parable of the sower and the seed. He said this, Jesus said, some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Satan, I say, is a thief. He's a thief that robs us of our opportunities, our good intentions, the vows we make, the resolutions we formulate. Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day I'll call. Thieves, all of them. Thieves that break into our lives and rob it of purpose and meaning and fulfillment and joy. Thieves that take. So notice the contrast between what Jesus came to give and what Satan takes. But you know something? Something's happened. And it's this. The roles of Satan and Christ have subtly been reversed. When we think of good times, what do we think of? Do we think of Jesus? Or do we think of what Satan has to offer? Satan is perceived as the one who gives us life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Satan is the one who makes life exciting and real, so they say. There was a 19-year-old boy just recently who died because he was hazed and in an initiation at Penn State University. They filled him with alcohol, and he fell down a flight of stairs and died. It's strange that the beer commercials portray alcohol and drugs as something that's fun, and it brings excitement and joy and laughter into life. I like watching the Super Bowl. And, of course, one of the things the Super Bowl has are Budweiser beer ads. And they're clever, they're amusing, but they only paint one side of the picture. They only show the good times. They don't show the other, like that 19-year-old boy. My father was an alcoholic. And, you know, as a little boy, I never knew when I could bring my friends home because I never knew what condition my dad would be in. But the good news is that for the last 15 years of his life, he was sober. thanks to Alcoholics Anonymous. But what I'm saying is that the devil, Satan, is pictured as one who has come to give. And Jesus, on the other hand, is one who takes. If we commit our lives to Christ, why, he's going to rob us of fun. He's going to take some of the neat things in life away from us. A few years ago, there was a songwriter who asked this question. He said, "Why does the devil have all the good music? Why indeed?" Christ is perceived as the one who has come to take, Satan as the one who has come to give. It's a role reversal. I would say it's what Donald Trump would call fake news. Fake news. Let me say, on the basis of experience and personal observation, let me say on the authority of the Word of God, that to suggest that Satan has come to give and Christ has come to take is fake news. Jesus has come to give and Satan has come to take. So, the text, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and have it to the fullest. Now, having looked at the contrast that's made, let's go on now to just spend a few moments examining the purpose for which Christ came. Why did he come? "I have come," he says, "that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Here, in encapsulated form, is one of the clearest statements concerning the mission of Jesus, why he came into this world. And it supplements, in some respects, something else Jesus once said. He said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Luke 19, verse 10. In other words, Jesus came to save the lost, and he came to give life and meaning to the saved. Here are two fundamental questions that we can ask ourselves. If I am lost, why should I remain lost if Jesus came to save me? And here's the other question. If I am saved, am I experiencing and enjoying the abundant life that Christ came to give? There's a Bible expositor and commentator of another generation. His name was Graham Scroggie. I have a profound respect. I wish I could have heard him speak. I've read some of his material. But he said this. It's a long quote. Just bear with me, but it's a doozy. It's a great one. He said this: "All Christians have eternal life. Not all Christians have abundant life. There can be life without health. There can be movement without progress. There may be war, but defeat. We may serve and never succeed. We may try, but never triumph. And the difference all along the line is the more abundant life. This abundant life is simply the fullness of life in Jesus Christ, made possible by his death and resurrection, and made real by the incoming of his Holy Spirit. That is the abundant life." Now, just another little short paragraph, and hear this. He said, "The trouble with so many of us is that we are on the right side of Easter, the wrong side of Pentecost. We are on the right side of pardon, the wrong side of power. We're on the right side of forgiveness, the wrong side of fellowship. Out of Egypt, but we've never gotten into Canaan." How about you? Out of Egypt, but we've never gotten into Canaan. If I'm a Christian, am I experiencing and enjoying the abundant life that Christ came to offer? That's the question that I challenge myself with, I challenge you with this morning. The other challenge I would make are to those who, for one reason or another, have perhaps never entered through the gate. They've never really met Jesus Christ or entrusted their lives to him. Jesus said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. That person will come in and go out and find pasture. And Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Take that step. Enter that gate. Meet the good shepherd. Become one of his. It's an invitation to life abundant. In other words, live while you live. Don't die until you're dead. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we're thankful for the hope we have in Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the possibility of enjoying abundant life through Christ. Lord, I pray that each of us will feel challenged by your word today, that we'll take seriously the business of fake news and understand clearly that Christ has come to give and Satan has come to take. In your precious name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.